Lord Jesus, we praise you. We thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the lives that you've given each of us, Lord God. We thank you for the help that you've given us. Thank you for the strength to go through the challenges that each of us go through every day, every week, every year, Lord God. I thank you for this body. I thank you for the congregation, for those that are still traveling, that those that are not with us today. Lord Jesus, we pray for them, wherever they are, that you would be with them. We pray for the other churches around the nation and around the world that are worshiping right now and throughout this day, Lord Jesus. We thank you that all of us can worship you. Father God, I pray that you would inhabit the praises of your people this day. And we just welcome your Holy Spirit here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Some of us have gone through a lot. Some of us are going through situations right now.
And some of us, you know, the Lord is making us strong and building us up because there's going to be an obstacle that comes up later on. There's going to be a hard time that's coming up. It's so important for us to be so strong in our faith and to let God lead and to let go of the reins and say, Father, your will be done. Because when we have that strong faith, we won't be shaken when those hard times come. We're never promised that everything's going to be easy and everything's going to work out. What we're promised is that we will never be alone through it. And I pray, Father, that if we are one of those people, Lord, that have gone through hard times, Father, we want to say, Lord, I was strong in you through it, and I thank you, Father, and help us for the next time. And if we're going through it right now, Father, I pray, Lord, that you are just so strong in spirit with them, Lord God, just to lift them up and just to help them, just to keep their eyes totally just focused on you, Father. We don't understand the things that you understand, Father. But I pray, Lord, that even through it, Lord, that you can give us peace. And I pray, Father, for those that it's going to be happening, Father, whether it be in a month, in a year, or whatever, Lord, I just pray, Father, that you help us get so strong right now, Lord, that we can look back and say, you know, I saw that person go through it, or Lord, you gave me this scripture to help me. But Father, please just prepare us, Lord. Have our hearts always be ready, Lord.
Walk through when you
haven't noticed the theme already of these songs, it's about knowing that no matter what happens right now, we're saying, God, we're going to trust in you, Father. Whether you allow us to have those times that are just amazing and relaxation and a little bit of a reprieve, or Father, whether we're in the fire, Lord God, and we're being purified for you, Father, help us to trust in you, Lord God. Help us to sing these songs. And almost by just seeing them, we're saying, yes, that's going to be me. But also help us not be surprised that when we go through those tough times, it is going to challenge us. Father, help us just to trust you as our rock, our foundation, our hiding place, Father.
Humble, I fall down. Amen.
Father, I pray right now, Lord God, that you bring to our minds those times where we have called out to you and you have rescued us, Father. You've been there for us, Lord. I just remember when I was younger and I was going through so much turmoil in my life. The world had such a hold on me that I would cry out to you. I would physically and spiritually just cry out and say, Lord, I can't do it anymore. And you rescued me, Father. And from that day forward, Lord, I chose just to be a prisoner of your love, Lord God, and your grace and your freedom and how amazing it was. There's such a difference when you think that you have such freedom in the world. It's kind of like, you know, even from a woman's position, it's like, I'm a woman, hear me roar, I can do whatever I want, I have strength, I'm powerful. But oh my goodness, I was under such bondage, Father. And the more freedom I thought I had, the more sin kept pulling me down. But Father, once I decided to be a slave to you, I've never been so free in my life. Father, I pray that all of us here, Lord, can have that freedom, Lord, that we've all chosen that freedom completely, Lord. And if there's some of us, Lord, that are still holding on to that facade of what they think is freedom, Father, I pray that you give them wisdom and open their eyes, Lord. That true freedom is laying down your life and saying, I don't want control anymore.
Stand for me against the workers of iniquity. The Lord has been my help. My soul who shall be settled in silence. If I say, my feet are slipping, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. And in the multitudes of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul.
That was a good word from the Lord, wasn't it, right there? For those of you guys who know, that's not planned. It's just the Lord puts a word on someone's heart, the congregation, and they speak it. And so I think to myself, how absolutely appropriate is that? As a lot of people are going through things, even listening to Josh last week and Billy and Shirley and so many others. We serve a good and faithful God, do we not?
Amen.
You know, I think there was a time, I remember a time when some of the disciples were like, some of the people that are following Jesus, they were there kind of like for what you can give me disciples, do you know what I mean? Like they were there for the food and they were like, what you can give me? And he said, and they started leaving. And Jesus looked at the 12 and he said, so are you going to leave too? And Peter said something really awesome. He said, Lord, where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Isn't that true? Yeah. Amen. Hezekiah, you're raising your hands.
People that were leaving and they're just going for like the food or something like that, those were like the fans. And then the 12 were like the followers.
That's right. Yeah, there are fans and then there's followers. Fans will come and go. The followers will stay. That's a good word. Thanks, Hezekiah. I'm glad to see you guys. I'm glad you're here. A couple things we want to go over really quickly, just so that I don't forget. Turn this baby on. We do have, again, free Panera Loaves right there if you want to grab some extra bread, bagels. We've got tons of them. We've got a whole bag of it back there. For those of you who don't know, I think it's not this Thursday, but next Thursday, we're going to be showing here on Thursday night, Kids for Christ movie. We got the license, so we're going to be showing that. If you want to invite a friend to come out and see that, a neighbor, that would be a perfect time. We're going to have hot dogs that night and popcorn and at our normal Thursday barbecue Bible study. Again, not this Thursday, but next Thursday on the 20th. And so it's a great time to invite someone who maybe is unfamiliar with the Lord or not really churched. A nice, comfortable movie night is a great opportunity. So ask a friend, ask a neighbor, and it's all free in Jesus' name. Also, we've got the CEF 5-Day Club that's coming up Monday, July 17th to Friday the 21st. The ages, somebody asked me this last week and I forgot, didn't know. And so the ages are 5 to 12. And it's every day from 10 to 12 p.m. And it's going to be run by Sherry Brower, is the coordinator for CEF Ministries, along with our youth. And they're doing that at different churches. They're going to be doing here. If you would like to sign up, if you've got kids from the ages of 5 to 12, you'd like to sign up, please do so. Go for it. You've got the sign-up sheet right there. If you raise your hand, look at that. You just go and sign up your kids there. It is free in Jesus' name. And so we just want to make sure you do that. Wait on that. We are doing a baptism this month, and another person wanted to get baptized. So we decided we're going to do it at the beach. Started getting more and more people, so we're going to do it at the beach. Yay! So hopefully that's agreeable to everybody. And so we're going to be doing that. We'll bring more information next week, exactly what date is available. I think it was towards the end of the month. But we'll get you that information. But if you want to be baptized, please come see me. Also, as far as equipping the saints, we ran out of these Thursday night, but I just want to say, if you guys happen to miss Paul Cowley when he came here from Africa, for those of you who don't know, he's been serving, making disciples up there. We supply Bibles to the pastors of the least in the slums in different parts of Africa, two different parts of Africa, and Nairobi and such. And I was going on vacation, but he did such an amazing job. It was anointed from the Lord. And I just want to say, especially if you are going through a difficult time right now, I think the Lord has a word for you that you need to hear. And so we handed a bunch out Sunday and the rest of them out on Thursday, so I ran out again. So if there's anybody who did not hear that message, at any age, raise your hand. Okay, a few back there. Brandon, would you mind?
Sure.
Oh, yeah, okay, here, I'll put one for you. Yeah, you gave it up last time. You were working the grill, that's right.
Part of it, anyway. Who needs one?
Okay, raise your hand if you want one. Everybody should hear that message. So every hand. We need to make more, we'll make more. But wait, there's more. I thought Josh did a really great job last week on Matthew 11, 28-30 as well. And so, you know, when I first heard what he was going to do, I was like, oh man, I already taught on that. It was an anointed message. I'm thinking, Josh, what are you doing? And you know what's so cool? Josh taught that same few verses in a totally different illustration, with a totally different way, a totally different direction. Oh, you still need one, Jim? Okay. Poor Ray, every week, he wants one, we give it away. George, did you make a few more calls?
Can you keep one so I can just make another copy of it?
Yes.
That way I don't have to re-edit it.
And then I'll give you mine.
Okay.
Yes. Also, but if anybody wants that, honestly, it was a fantastic message, and it was a totally different illustration, a totally different way of approaching it, but the same heart of the message. It was awesome. I was so touched by it. So I made copies of that. And so if you missed that, I want to give you a copy too. All right? Chris, now this time it's you. I made Ray walk around. And now I make you. There's a two back over there and there. If you missed that message, I want to encourage you again. I was so blessed and encouraged by that message. But I want other people to hear it as well. So that just shows that God uses just a diversity in the body, right? We're all different and unique, and God uses us all. Okay, so you guys already know all this stuff, so I'm just going to skip that. Okay, so you guys know Sunday, we actually meet at 9:30 if you want to come here for prayer. Just want to encourage you. I missed it today. Hated it. We have Gary's out on vacation, but he'll be back Tuesday. So if you want to join us for a men's Bible study and dinner on Tuesday night here at church, going through 2 Samuel, a character study in the life of David, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. for some food. You know, just come out. Here, guys, come on out. I love this slide. Okay, so Miss Neely, probably a little bit brighter. She made the slide. Isn't this fantastic, Miss Neely? Okay, so we are no longer the youth group slide. We are no longer the Whosoevers. So the kids wanted to name it the Transformers. So anyway, the Transformers youth group is this Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30. Be transformed by the renewing of our minds with the Word of God, Romans 12. And so call Josh and Nick for more details. But here Wednesday night, 6:30 to 8:30, the Transformers youth group. I want to invite Josh to that Bible study. And then also the Thursday night Bible study with this week is Uncle Tom, and you're doing the armor of God, right?
Finishing up on prayer.
Okay, finishing up on prayer. Awesome. Great. And that's 6 to 8 p.m. when there's dinner here, and that's very family-oriented. Right, Jess? Yeah! Was that Jess? Okay. I'm used to baby cake making those noises, but I think it's Jess. And we also need help preparing dinner, so if you can do that once a month, on Thursday night Bible study, we really appreciate your help. Also in the children's ministry, if you love kids and can do that once a month, we really need help. We've got lots of folks on vacation, and so lots of people are not back helping in the children's ministry. So if you are loving kids, oh, that's a good Josh. Josh does the same thing.
Wow!
So if you can help with the kids once a month, and we'd like to do that, whether it's with the little babies, you know, or whether it's the bigger kids. We would love to have you. And so please see Lisa. We just want to encourage you. We really need help, especially over the summer. We've got so many people on vacation. Okay. All right. We'll save that for next week. And we'll save that for next week. Okay, so we are in the book of Romans. If you could open your Bible. We are finishing up the book of Romans. Really? Yeah, that's funny to say that, really. You were gone for a month and a half. You've never allowed to do that again. And so, yes, so we've been in Romans now. I actually looked it up for about the book of Romans for a long time now. And we are finishing up the last chapter. Actually, it says chapter 15. We talked about hope, the hope that God gives us in a hopeless world. If you didn't hear that message, you'll have to go online and grab that. But Romans 16 isn't full of this incredible theological stuff. And, you know, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, or God wants to have make peace with us. And it's not, you know, it's almost like a signing off. Romans 16, we've been in it a long time. You know, I was talking with this, there was a wife of a pastor who was very, very discouraged from another church. And so I was talking with her and I prayed for her. But she started the conversation with, she knows I was reading the Bible and said, "What are you reading?" I said, "Oh, just reading Romans." She said, "Wow, that's a deep book." I said, yeah. She's like, "Yeah, I'm reading it to you teaching it?" I said, "Yeah." She laughed out. She's like, "I hope you have a year." And I said, actually, I said, "It's probably been almost like a year and a half if you ask our congregation, it's been like 2 years." But I said, and she's like, "You're actually doing that?" "Yeah, we're going through the whole book of Romans." Wow. And so it's actually been like a year and like
March
4 months.
13th,
yeah. Yeah. Yes. So we've gone through all the book of Romans. And this is kind of like, you remember like when you were, I don't know if you guys remember this, maybe just the little bit older people like me, at the end of the day, they would have on TV stations. Remember? Yes. At the end of the day, they would have, they wouldn't go on all night. You couldn't stay up at 2 in the morning and watch infomercials. It was like, "Hey, we're done. We're going to bed too. Signing off." You know what I mean? And they would give you something like this. Or for those of you who you were a little bit younger, yeah, it's like, "That's all." So this is kind of like, you know, and actually a lot of Bible teachers, they just take about 10, 15 minutes, read Romans 16, but there's still a lot here to go through in this last chapter. And so, you know, I think we got up to verse 5 is where we left off. If somebody has the microphone. Okay, if somebody would read maybe Romans 16, let's say 1 to 4, and, or maybe 1 to 5, who would mind Romans chapter 16, 1 to 5, if you're a good reader, just raise your hand as I'm opening to it. And one thing, as we're going through this, is you're going to see Paul's going to mention about 25 to 30 names. You know, there's, and that to me just says how important each person is. The Holy Spirit thought it important enough to name each person, and there's a reason for that. All scriptures God breathed, and so he thought it important enough to share with us those names. And so, anyway, Chris, can you hit the light for a second so my old eyes can see? All right, so who wants to read? No, maybe calling. Oh, thank you, Debbie Jo. Oh, wait, just somebody else back there?
They always put that good reader in there.
Gosh, lower your
speech. Right here. Raise your hand, Debbie Jo, so you can see it. Awesome.
One to what?
Romans chapter 16. Let's say 1 to 5. Do it in your best Tennessee voice. Excellent.
Personal greetings. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea.
Cenchrea, yes. Yeah, so, yeah, that basically, Cenchrea was right by Corinth, and he's like, he's sending his sister Phoebe, her name means radiant, and they're entrusting Phoebe with this most important document, one of the most important documents ever written. And that's really cool that Paul would do that. I mean, here's this woman. She's just, see, and God's given her this amazing task to carry this letter in the heart of this letter. All right, keep going.
I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been a great help to many people, including me. Great Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house.
So that's okay. Yeah, good. So here's what we have. If you take the light, Chris, for a second. So here's Romans 16 and why we really need to read it. Instead of just glossing over it. It's because, you know, one thing that you come to find out as you're young and you think, oh, I got my buds. Oh, my work loves me. My buds love me. But when you get older, the older you get, you realize people are really, apart from the Lord, are self-centered little jerks. And you can kind of feel like you are a nobody. Right? Just being honest. Nobody really loves me. Nobody cares. Right? And that's not true. Because God loves you. He loves you so much that He died for you. He loves you so much that He knows your name. And He knows your pain. And He knows your insecurities. And He knows where you're going from. Exodus 13:17 says, I know you by name. That's God saying that. Isaiah 49:16 says this. And I love this. He says, I have engraved you, in the palms of my hand with the spikes on the cross. That's how much I love you. I died for you, Billy, alone. Punky. Bella, you know what I'm talking about. Neil, Diane, I love you. That's what he says to you. On that cross. He says this in Isaiah 43, 1-2. Just in a little recap. He says, fear not. When you're going through all this trouble and you just seem overwhelmed, like you're drowning, which we all can feel that way. Does anybody give a fuck? You know what? God says, fear not, because I have redeemed you. You. I have called you by name. And you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not consume you. Isaiah 43:1-2. So we see, you know, that God is interested in each name as we listen to these 25, 30 names here. We see Phoebe. It says that she was, I'm trying to think exactly what it says here. Thank you. Chris, you're so great. It says that she was a servant of the church, you know, and a great help to many people, including me. That's the Apostle Paul saying that. Be like, you know, hey, Rebecca, she was such a servant to the church. Make sure you treat her right, you know, because she was a great help to everybody and even me. He didn't say even me. He says, and me. And P.L. Moody said, you know, there are many of us who are willing to do great things for the Lord, but few of us who are willing to do the little things. Isn't that true? Everybody wants to be the big show, but really, it's the little things that the Lord sees. You know, Matthew 23:11, the greatest among you, Jesus said, is going to be your servant. And that's the truth. We saw Priscilla and Aquila, and everybody knows them. They were with Paul in places like Ephesus and Corinth and Rome, and they were a husband and wife couple serving the Lord faithfully. How powerfully it is when both the husband and wife serve the Lord. And what a great name. Just opening up their house to everybody. You know, when you think about that, you think about names like Ananias and Sapphira. Hey, there's another couple that worked together, right? You guys remember what they did?
They died.
Right. Why did they die? You guys remember why they died? They what? That's right. They lied to the church, lied to the Holy Spirit. So they were working together, but really not for the Lord. How powerful it will be if you both work together and give your hearts for the Lord. That will be a powerful testimony to people. And it says that they had a house church. That's awesome. What awesome hospitality they showed. And this is the one key thing. And some of you need to memorize this. Right? Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. You know, I'll do it. Okay. Everybody's going to hear how miserable I am. No, that's not a blessing to anybody. Don't do it. You know what I mean? God wants us to be welcoming, open. Happy that you're here. All right? It goes in the next verse. It says to greet, verse 6, greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. You know, and I just love how he greets each person. You know, and here's Mary, probably working her fingers to the bone, like some of you guys, thinking, does anybody care that I'm working so hard for you, Lord? Does anybody even notice? Have you ever thought that? Like, I'm doing stuff nobody else seems to even notice. You know? But she's trusting the Lord. She's trusting that he's going to reward her. And I think of this verse in Luke 1:45. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. It's the Lord that's going to reward you. It's the Lord that's going to lift you up. And so you hold on to the Lord, young lady. You know what I'm saying? You believe the promises of God. And you never let go. You know, I think it's cool that she says that she worked hard. You know, I think of two scripture verses when I see that, and they kind of contrast each other. You know, here's the one that says in Colossians 3:23, verse 24, God wants us to work hard. He doesn't want us just to come on a Sunday, get fed the word, and just get fat. You know what I'm saying? Like, have you ever had, like, Thanksgiving dinner? Okay, like, from when my mom used to cook, we used to have we'd have, I don't even know how many dishes. We'd have, how about it? They had probably 20 different sides, and, you know, you'd eat so much that you have to do the Italian, I won't do it, we do the unbutton of your pants, you know, just because you're so full. That's not how he wants us to be in the faith. He wants us to be work hard. He saved you for a reason. He wants you to learn and to grow and to get busy and to rock and to serve and to love and to share and with others. That's what he wants. Are you feeling unfulfilled in your life? Are you feeling like you're spinning your wheels and not going anywhere? Really? Well, maybe it's because you're really not serving him like you should. He's calling you. He's wanting you to work hard for him. But we can be lazy, can't we? But he's calling you out from that. He's saying, step out from that. He says, work hard and willingly, right? Sometimes I'll ask, how do I say this? I think the work hard is great, but it's the willingly also. Like if you have a teenager, I'm not saying mine, but if you have a teenager, I love when they work hard. But I love it a lot more when they're just willing. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, oh, got to go to Bible study. Now they want me to go to a men's group Tuesday, Thursday. Then they're going to want me to serve in some way. Children's ministry. I want to be away from the kids. You know what I'm saying? No, willingly do it. That's what God wants. It blesses his heart. Just like it blesses your heart as a mom or dad. It says, and whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than people, remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. Remember who you're serving. That's what you do everything for. If you're starting a business, how do I honor the Lord? If you're in any relationship, how do I honor the Lord? You know, think about this versus this. Now, this is going to be a doozy. Ready? It's a word called work hard versus laziness. Look at this. 2 Thessalonians 3:6 says this. Now here is a command, dear brothers, given in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by his authority. He says, stay away from any Christian who spends his days in laziness. and does not follow the ideal of hard work he set up for you. Ouch. What does that tell you?
I'm myself.
You know what? And I appreciate your honesty. You know what? If that's you right now, God's saying repent. That's not what I have for you. All right, let's continue. All right, thanks. He goes on to say in verse 7, greet Andronicus and Junicus, my relatives, who have been in prison with me. You know, it's probably another husband and wife couple. And when he says relatives, the word he uses here, yeah, he's going to use it a lot. So don't think that, wow, is Paul like, is this all his family here? Relatives here, the word he uses could mean blood relatives, or it could mean like in Christ, right? You say, hey, you're my brother, you're my sister, right? That's what he's meaning here. He says, they are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. And some of your translations, this might be a better translation, some of your translations had it translated a little bit better, saying they were well known among the apostles. So, in other words, sometimes it means like the 12 apostles, and sometimes apostles is a general thing, then it means messenger is what apostle really means. Like it does in Philippians. You know, it means just a sent one. And so it says, but I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, the same word for apostle, whom you sent to take care of my needs, for he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard news of that. So when he's saying this, that they were outstanding among the apostles, it's not like they were the 13th apostle. They were just a messenger. And he says, greet, I don't know, Amplitus, I don't really know him, whom I love in the Lord. Then it says in verse 9, it says, greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Now this is interesting, because you've got city folk and country folk right here in Christ. Urbanus, that's where we get our word urban from, right? And his name just means of the city. And then we have Stachys here, you know what his name means? He's like big country. His name means head of grain. So you got the urban, you got the city folk, and you got the country all working together for Christ. He says, greet Apelles, he is tested and approved in Christ. And I love that. That's what I want to be. I want to be tested and approved in Christ. Can I ask you a question? How does that happen? How do we become tested and approved?
Trials.
What?
Trials. Like a crisis of sorts.
Crisis? Trials? Yes.
Following his word.
Yes. Well, and the only way to really find out where you're at is to go through these hard times. But this tested and approved is where I want to be. 1 Peter 1:7 says this. You guys are exactly right. He says these trials that you're going through right now are only to test your faith. Now, God already knows where you're at, but he wants to show you where you're at. Because sometimes we think we're standing tall, we love Jesus, right? We're on fire for him, and we go through a trial, and it all falls apart. Mm-hmm. And then we think, oh my gosh, I didn't run to you, Lord. I ran away from you. Right? And so these trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. And your faith is far more precious to him than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried by fiery trials, then it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So that's what God is wanting to glorify himself through you. And those trials are going to show where you're at with him. Quick. It also says in verse 10, it says, greet those who belong to the house of Aristobulus. Now, you guys look at that line, sentence, and tell me what's different about that greeting than the rest?
Many people?
What? Yeah, what?
It's the household.
It's the household of Aristobulus. Yeah. You know, to me, that tells me something. To me, that tells me that I don't think Aristobulus was saved. I'm going to greet his household, and maybe you're an Aristobulus here today, and maybe you're here because your husband or your wife or your kids kind of made you come, but they're all saved and you're not. How sad is that? What are you waiting for? The Lord of heaven and earth loves you and wants a relationship with you. He wants to save you from your sin. It says, greet Herodian, my relative. And that's, again, that means my brother or sister in the Lord. So, obviously, part of Herod's family even got saved. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. So, obviously, Narcissus was a little too stuck on himself to get saved. Verse 12 says, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Now, this is kind of funny, because their names mean dainty and delicate, or luxurious and luxury. So I don't know if they were, you know, little girls that were, you know, these dainty little things, or kind of big girls with names dainty and delicate. I don't know. But anyway, whatever. They were workhorses for the Lord. They were powerhouses for Jesus. And that's awesome, their service to the Lord. And Paul mentions them. And he says, greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who worked very hard in the Lord. And then he says, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me also. So here's Rufus, who they're talking about here. If you remember Simon of Cyrene, you remember the guy who helped Jesus carry the cross? They took him out of the crowd and they made him help Jesus. It was in Mark chapter 15:21. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. Well, obviously, he got saved, and now his son got saved, and so he's greeting them here today. It's very cool. And when it says chosen in the Lord, you know, sometimes we think, well, wow, that must have been awesome to be chosen by God. But you know what, really, guys? You're chosen too. The Creator of heaven and earth chose you by name. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be the first fruits, to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and through belief in the truth. God chose you for a mission. It's amazing to me. Like, sometimes I think, God, why would you choose me? Why would you choose me? Of all people, your pastor, to be saved. Why would he choose you? No, I just looked at somebody, so I meant, so I'm not really saying you, but you, me. Why would he choose us?
Because he loves us. And sometimes he chooses the foolish things of the world, right, to confound the wise. Because he loves us. He sees something in us. And when it says, some of your translations will say, you know, his mom and mine, or his mother and mine. Obviously, it's kind of like, it's not saying his actual mom. It's just saying, hey, we're family. Like, have you ever had a second mom? Like somebody that you knew so much that you thought of them like a mom? Okay, I had my friend Mike who spoke a few months ago. Remember Mike Vita came down here? And, you know, we thought of each other's moms as mom. And so when his mom got saved, it was a wonderful day. She used to cook us this awesome arroz con pollo and with the coquelon and the ceviche and this amazing salsa. And when she got saved, it was so awesome. And I used to call her mom. And he used to come over for these big fancy Italian pasta dinners. And he would call her mom. And it's the same thing here. It's the same thing. And this is how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be like a family. And Jesus says, listen, when you follow me, let me assure you that no one has ever given up anything. Home, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, children, or property for the love of me and to tell others the good news. Who won't be given back 100 times over. Homes and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and fields, along with persecutions, it's not going to be all rosy, and in the age to come, eternal life. I look at some of you like true brothers and sisters,
some of you like a mom, some of you like uncle. Hey, everybody calls, you know what we call Tom? Most people call him Uncle Tom. Some of you like daughters. Do you know what I mean? Some of you like my kids. Now you can have little grandkids. Not, yeah, you know what I'm saying. Anywho, okay, wait. All right, okay, the next verse is, he goes, verse 14 and 15, it says, now these names I'm going to butcher, so just kind of, you don't know if I'm saying them wrong anyway. I should, she always, you can say stuff in Puerto Rican.
Spanish.
Whatever. Puerto Rican. All right, Neely. All right, would you read 14 and 15? And you should get it totally wrong, and it sounds completely right. All right, so you actually read 14 through 16 for us. Would you do that?
Sure.
Keep one back. Awesome.
Greet Asyncritos, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and the brethren with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympas, and all the saints who are with them. Yes. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you.
Yes. Now it says greet one another with a holy kiss. Now we're not talking creeper here, okay, guys? You know what I'm saying? Like this is, I found this little comment. It says, so greet one another with a holy kiss. After a singles group Bible study, Chet asked Diane to read his favorite scripture, and soon after, he made his move. Yeah, just check him out. Amen. Yeah. We're not talking creeper like kiss. It says a holy kiss. In other words, you know, it was not meant to be like a way to make your move, okay? You know, you don't have to worry about us kissing too much here, you know, because we're huggers. But sometimes you can do that awkward hug thing. You know, when you go to give somebody a hug, you get an elbow, or you give a handshake, and you're hugging them anyway. But normally, we kind of go more for the hug. But actually, it was really common in Jesus' day. It's mentioned 5 times in the Bible, the Greek one of the holy kiss. And it's almost like, kind of culturally speaking, and I'm Italian, so I know this, and if you're Spanish, you do too. But sometimes it was not uncommon to give a hug, give a kiss on the cheek. You know what I mean? Like, oh, good to see you, or a kiss on the head and the forehead or the head, you know, just in a loving way. So it was more like that. It was even so common that even Jesus, when he went over to the Pharisee's house, I don't know if you remember that, but he had dinner at a Pharisee's house, and this woman came in, it was a sinful woman, and she started crying all over Jesus' feet and then wiping, probably a little awkward, and then wiping his feet, the dirt from his feet, with her tears and her hair. And he says, and this Pharisee was like, if you knew that woman who was doing that for you, Jesus, you would know she's sinful. And Jesus said this, says in Luke 7, 44 to 47, he said, he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, you see this woman? I came into your house and you did not give me water for my feet, yet she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, in the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. So that was a very, very common thing back then. And then it's almost like as he's closing out this last little bit, it's like he wants to say something really important. In verse 17, it says, actually, can somebody read verse 17 to 19 for me real quick? Where's the microphone? Okay. Somebody raise your hand and read that, please, for me. Verse 17 to 19. Hey, we can sit here all day. Okay, back there, Hannah. Thank you. I'll wait back to that.
Hi from us.
Yeah.
Where it says, I urge you?
Yes.
Okay. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil.
Yeah, I love that. Because he says, I urge you, brothers. Now, he only used that three times in the entire book of Romans. That word is in Greek is parakletos, and that means literally, I'm begging you. So I'm begging you. And he only used this three times. He used it once when he says, he said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I'm begging you, I urge you to present yourself as a living sacrifice to the Lord. And in Romans 15, 30, when it said, I'm begging you to pray. Pray for one another. Pray for me. And now he's saying, I want you to pray. I'm begging you to watch out for people who cause division in the body of Christ. He says this, he's like, I want you to watch out for those who cause division. And that word to watch out for, the Greek word is scopio, and it's where we get our word microscope from. You know what I mean? Like when you're bringing stuff in, you're really looking at it, or telescope, when you really want to see everything, and it basically means to look intently for. So he's saying, listen guys, I'm ending this letter, this is super important. I want you to really be on the lookout for those people who cause divisions in your body. He's like, because it's going to happen. Not just for the pastor. You need to do it. To watch out for it. I'm begging you, he says, for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way. The word, let me see if I can remember. I'm doing this from memory. That put obstacles in your way. The word there is, in Greek, is scandalon, and it literally means the bait in a trap. Some people are going to be causing divisions by accident, and some people are going to be doing it on purpose. They're baiting you. They're trying to draw you after themselves or something like that.
That goes on all the time.
It does go on all the time.
No, I mean really now.
Yes?
Just turn the TV on, you hear it all the time.
Absolutely. And you know what? And God hates division, guys. Not wrong division, but he hates when people divide the body. There are seven things that God hates. There are six things the Lord hates, and one is the seventh that's detestable to him. In Proverbs 6, 16 and 19, he hates pride. You can look it up. He hates a lying tongue. Those are strong words. He hates hands that shed innocent blood, or hearts that devise wicked schemes, or feet that are quick to run into mischief, or a false witness. And then the last one here, the ones that he really disdains, is one who sows discord among the brothers, or one that causes division. And there's four things that I came to my mind. Some people do it on purpose, they cause division, and some people do it on accident. Tell me if this rings true to you. Like, some people cause divisions because they're immature. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, how would that work? Like, go ahead.
It's not being Christian, but they don't know what's right.
Yes, they don't know what's right or what's wrong. Yes.
Or they could see something on the internet from someone and be like, oh, that's the real way. Hey, everybody, let's do this.
That's exactly right. Yes, wow. YouTube. Oh, my goodness. It can be such a blessing or such a curse. Somebody watches a teaching on YouTube, and all of a sudden they're like, woo, we got to do it this way, and the church is all wrong, and they, shoot, no, the church doesn't do this, and you know the church doesn't do this. And they're just, they're
calm down.
You know?
You're
baby. Or even like a little child, right? A little child sometimes wants its own way. And if I don't get my own way, if I don't get enough attention, people aren't paying enough attention to me. Or I want this to happen, and it didn't happen. And I'm going to throw a little tantrum. And that church didn't love me, and they didn't help me, and they didn't care about me. That's what a little kid would do, because he's immature, he doesn't know any better. You could cut off your right arm for somebody, right? Then a year later, what have you done for me lately? Oh, you don't love me. You don't care about me. Because they're immature. They don't know any better. Sometimes, guys, it's not people cause divisions because they're insecure. This is a big one. Big one. Some of us come with a lot of insecurity baggage. Don't we? They don't love me. They exclude me. They don't care about me. and that Bible study, the youth group, they don't care. The women's group, they don't like me around. The men's group, Gary, he doesn't care. The worship, they don't like anybody. I saw a hand raise, even without my glasses. Yeah, Nicole.
Yeah, sometimes that's a spirit. Some people that have that spirit of dissension. They cause dissension wherever they go, and it's a pattern throughout their lives.
Yes. You know, and sometimes, yes, that's absolutely right. And sometimes it's immaturity. Sometimes it's on purpose. That's what it is. Sometimes it's just they're insecure. And so when they're constantly feeling like, that nobody likes me, that nobody loves me in this group, I don't fit in. You know what I mean? Like, I don't fit in. You know what? There are times, can I just be honest? I got a lot of baggage. I got a lot of history. There are times when I don't feel like I fit in. You said, what? You're the pastor. I know. You know, somebody at the prayer group Thursday night a few weeks ago was just telling me they didn't feel like they fit in the church at all for the first couple of years. And now they're saying, I can't even imagine. This is like a home away from home for me. I can't even imagine what I just realized how much this body loves me and how much I just didn't realize. It's so beautiful to hear that. And so if you're thinking nobody loves me or there's... I've been to churches where there really is clique. They really don't care about you. You know, they talk bad behind your back like meanly and stuff like that. I don't even want to say. I thought about sharing some things, but I don't want to do that. But if your insecurity is causing you to think, well, they're just a little snotty and cliquish. Those women in the women's group, they just don't like me around. You know what? Can I just tell you that's a lie of the enemy? In the men's group, it's a lie of the enemy. The youth group, it's a lie. If you're thinking that, honestly, there's no pride there. We want to love you and encourage you. Now, you might see that some people get along better than others because they've stayed longer. They've got to know one another. They've been faithful and gone through the mill together. But they love you. They want the best for you. So honestly, in Jesus' name, if you're thinking that, that's your insecurity speaking. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to take, and I'll use you if you're close, he's going to take, and just pour on the gasoline to that. Yeah, they don't love you. And then you're going to whisper it. Hey, you know what? Do you notice? I don't think the men's group, they don't really care about me. Yeah, they don't really care. Yeah, you know what? I noticed that. I noticed Gary. I don't think he does care about you. Yeah, you're going to whisper to Debbie Jo. No, Debbie Jo, I don't think the guys care about that. I think Pastor Darren's part of that group, too. Yeah, you know what? That whole church. And then you're just going to mention it to, and in a time of trouble, you're going to mention it to Linda. And Linda's already thinking, Darren wasn't appreciative enough of me. You know what? They are clicky. They don't care about me. It just flows. You know what? And this is over time.
It goes to this book.
And what?
Present darkness.
Are you reading it?
I finished it.
Oh!
Wow.
And what did it tell you? What did it show you? How the enemy works?
How the enemy works in people. It causes them to do things that they would never do otherwise.
Yes. So, by the way, if you want a free book, right up here on the couch. Take them in Jesus' name later. So sometimes it works because of that, for immaturity. Sometimes it's insecurity. Sometimes it's, what else did I write down? Self-centeredness. You know what I mean? You don't get what you want. I'm wanting recognition. I want you to think better of me. I'm smarter. I want you to have sympathy for me. I want you to... It's all self-focused. And if you're not filling this little void in me, then it must be your fault. It's not my fault. I tried the best I could. But, you people... Because you're self-focused and self-centered. What starts fights and quarrels among you, James says, is the selfish desires you have in your own heart. Listen, you're loved here. Yes. Yeah. You already had something.
Yeah.
Another thing that can cause division that I fall prey to is retelling things that are true but not helpful.
Yes.
So I love the truth, so I'm like,
one more time.
Yes.
I'll say that again.
Three more.
Don't want to. Just retelling something, not because you're making stuff up. A lot of times we think of gospel, we think of things that aren't true.
Mm-hmm.
But retelling things that are true that aren't helpful and that cause division is also not good.
Right.
So it's easy to be like, oh, what I said was true.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So I got up, let's say, if Pastor Aaron was a jerk to me one day, and then I'm like, can you believe it? You know? I came to him needing prayer, and he totally blew me off.
I remember when you told me that.
I told everyone. But, you know, so I could be doing it to cause division, or I could just be doing it because I am a retailer of facts.
You know what? That's a good point, too. Is sometimes you don't even realize you're doing it. You know, sometimes they're going to be a bad day. I was in a hurry. I was late for church. Well, I was late for church Thursday, too. So I'm like running in, and so some people want to talk. Hey, let me just get this. So somebody might get forgotten, or maybe you've had a hard day. You just don't like, there might be a day something like that's going to happen. But yeah, you know what? He is kind of like that. What? So true. Yeah, Ernie, do you have something you want to say?
Yes. One thing you can do to help a person like that who is, you know, so down on themselves and feels like they don't fit in or anything.
Yes.
Is pray.
Yeah.
One thing you can do for a person like that who is so down on themselves and doesn't feel like they fit in and everything is, number one, pray for them.
Yes.
But
good.
Also, get them involved. Get them involved somehow. Let them know that they are part of the family, that they do contribute, that they can contribute, that they will contribute.
Yes.
You know, and that in itself will help a person more than anything in the world.
That's a good word.
Getting them involved.
You know what? That's a good word. And I'm going to say this to you.
Hey, Darren, wait, though.
What?
Well, let's go back to the...
Wait, no, no. I'm going to hit what Ernie said for just a second.
No, wait. Okay, this is very pertinent because this is the original scripture.
Right.
It says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses,
yes,
contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them.
Yes.
So... I'm just saying.
Yes.
It seems like he's saying something else. It seems like he's calling out people,
yeah,
who are not these insecure,
right,
oh, I've got this little problem. But he's saying there are people who are, you know, the railers, the backbiters. He's saying mark them,
yes,
and avoid them.
Yes.
So I think that's a different
It
a
is,
different
which
thing.
I'm going to get to in about a minute.
But
you can still pray for him.
Yeah, we can pray
for
them. Doesn't say let's get involved and do more with them.
Oh yes, getting them involved. You know what? Here's the thing. Listen, if you're feeling that way and you're feeling like other people, then you get them involved. We're so happy for that. We need help in every area. Love it. We're asking that, maybe God's calling you. That's what you're to do in the body.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Praise the Lord. And then sometimes there's divisions caused because of self-centeredness. People are trying to get people to go after themselves, that you're to mark them. That doesn't mean you spray paint them with a big D, but he's saying, hey, I want you to know that. Check that out. You know what? That's, mark them. He's not, remember in chapter 15, he's like, oh, the immature, weak brother, just be patient with them. Now he's like, watch them, mark them. Because division's important. I mean, he's like, I want you to keep an eye, mark them, avoid them. That's big stuff. And sometimes it's just the enemy. You know, in Corinthians, it says the devil is scheming against you. He is always, here's what he's always trying to do. Listen to this. If you never come back to this church again, and I pray that you do, but if you don't, here's what he's trying to do. He is always trying to separate you from the body. I can go to another body, and nobody even knows me there. So I say, oh, it must be a really great body. Nobody knows you there. I don't know. You're deciding. Listen, he always wants to take you and separate you, because then he can hit you with all he's got. Just like in Animal Planet, you see a lion. He always goes after the weak ones, the ones by themselves. That's what he's always trying to do. You go out on your own. You separate from the body, and I can get you. Now, if you want to go to another church, wonderful. Our blessings. God calls you specifically. Be blessed. But don't be foolish. Don't be fooled by the enemy, because most people are. You don't be that foolish. He is always trying to separate you, and God's trying to pull you in. Don't you listen to that. Mark him. Yes, Neely.
I was just thinking, I'm not saying that this is like a formula or anything, but I like to look at this body as my family. My family in my house, you know, we have hard times. My kids fight and stuff like that. I get upset with them sometimes, and I but I'm not going to just walk away and go find another family. We were through it, you know, and it'll be hard and icky and uncomfortable. So this family here, the body in this building, I see them, I see you guys as my family, and I don't know, so that helps me if I feel like maybe I don't know somebody yet, then I try to eventually get to know everybody so that you know, our relationship can get stronger, hopefully, and there's a bunch of awesome people here, and I don't know what I'm saying. I mean,
no, I know
what I'm saying, but you know, it's a family, so
yes.
We can't let the enemy try to scare us away like that. I mean, we wouldn't do it for our own families at home. So if you see this family as our spiritual family, which it is,
yes.
I don't know.
Good.
Pray a lot, always.
I think that what Paul is talking about here is individuals who cause divisions in bodies. He's not talking about someone who is unhappy about an incident or maybe a couple of things. You know, he's talking about a specific type of person, the wolf in sheep's clothing, you know, who is causing division. You know, this is the person who maybe goes from church to church, and after they are in the turmoil, you've got two factions warring against each other. You know, I don't think he's saying, you know, that he's causing Mary to not like Joseph or whoever. You know, he's causing half the congregation to want the singing to stop and the other half of the congregation to want the, you know, to do more. So, you know, I mean,
Yes, I do know what you're saying, and I would agree with you, and I agree with Nicole. However, I think it goes, I think that goes beyond that. I think the enemy works in both ways. You know, when it says right here, you know, it says, if people are causing divisions among you, give a first and second warning. After that, have nothing more to do with them. Listen, you know, the enemy is always trying to cause division. There are going to be people who are going to be specifically come in this body trying to woo people after themselves. It says that such people are not serving our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites. They're trying to fill their own bellies with sympathy, with popularity, with control, with recognition, whatever it is that feeds them instead of others. The heart of a servant is feeding others and serving the Lord Jesus Christ, not yourself. So I think it could be both. In context, I agree with you, but I think the enemy is working in the divisions, period. Yeah.
Specifically in this text here in 17, it's about doctrine that you have learned. So the doctrine, that teaching that Paul was given to Romans and other churches, that is the offense. The division, it's the doctrine. If someone would come in here and speak different teaching than the Bible teaches that you believe in, then you have to mark those.
Yes.
Because they're smooth talkers.
Yes.
And they want them, they want their own appetites, their own bellies to be satisfied.
I agree. But also with that, you're talking, the Bible also talks that we be patient with one another and to cover a multitude of sins. All those things are a part of what God has taught us in the doctrine and how he wants us to treat one another. So it would still apply with divisions. And so in context, yes, it is talking about someone who would come in and purposely try to divide the body. But I'm telling you, the enemy is at work, not just in that. It can be at work in a lot of those things that we're doing. He's always trying to scheme and to create division, and we have to be on guard for it. And he says to watch out for it and take it seriously. But on the positive side, it does say that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And then he says this, he says in these last few verses, he just mentions these last people. He mentions Timothy. It says, Timothy, my fellow worker. I mean, you met Timothy, he was like back in Acts 16, and he got saved and joined them. And you know about Timothy? This is a cool thing. He said this about him, which I just thought was so cool. This is much later on. about Timothy. He said, I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. But you know how Timothy has proved himself like a son with his father. He has served with me in preaching the good news. So he mentions Timothy. He mentions other people that Lucius, who we met in Acts 13:1, and Jason. I don't know if you remember him, but he was in Thessalonica in Acts 17 when Paul was preaching there, and he stayed with Jason, and a whole mob went to go get Paul and wasn't there, so they grabbed Jason and had him thrown in prison. And so we saw Jason's bravery, and Sosipater, which is also, you meet in Acts chapter 20, verse 4. And here's the guy in verse 22, Tertius. His name means third, so he's probably a slave. That's how they would name their slaves. Primus, Secundus, Tertius, Quartus, 1, 2, 3, 4. He says, I wrote down this letter to greet you in the Lord. And so they believed that Paul had bad eyesight, and so he could hardly see. So this is like a secretary, like Paul's secretary, writing it all down for him. And he says, Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church enjoy, send you his greetings. And Erastus is the city director of public works, or the treasury. And just really quickly, I'm just going to show you one quick thing. They actually found something. I love archaeology. And so they found this, which is where Erastus was originally, in Corinth, in first century Corinth, which his name, he's the director of the public works of the treasury. And they found his name engraved in the streets. And I thought that was pretty cool. Anyway. And then he kind of closes off with this kind of this doxology. And he just like, verse like 25 to 27. And he just says, now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, you made it. You give yourself a round of applause. Woo!
About three from those folks that lost their lives up in the accident. Four of them died at the power plant.
You know what? I didn't see the news.
There was an accident a couple of weeks ago. Six guys were hurt really bad at Tico.
Oh, man.
They were great for the families.
Okay. Thank you.
One passed away yesterday, too.
It's four of them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's four of them.
Four families.
Good. Close.
Thank you.
And Charlotte.
Yes.
We'll do. Good. Anything else?
Okay, let's do that. Father, we do just want to lift up those guys so I need to know. Lord, we just pray for them, Lord. I pray for their healing, Lord, for the ones that are, I don't know if the others were injured, Lord, or if just folks just died. I pray for their families, Lord, for the ones that died, Lord, that you would comfort them, that you would encourage them, Lord God. I pray for Shirley, Lord, for and her family, Lord, just for continued healing for her, for strength for Michael, that you would help them to draw near to you during this time and not run away from you, Lord, but just draw near to you. I pray for their whole family, Lord, that you would draw that family near to you. Lord, I pray for Billy, and it's just coming to mind too, for his medical issues, Lord, that you would strengthen his heart, that he would run to you, Lord God, during this time, Lord. I pray for Nick too, Lord God, and that you would just comfort him, Lord God, during this time, Lord, that with the loss of his mom, Lord, that you would just minister and be so close to him, Lord God. That you just be protecting him, Lord God. And that he would do the same and draw near to you, Lord God. We ask for your blanket on each person here. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name for your blessing on this awesome family, Lord God. With all of our faults and foibles, Lord, that you would not let the enemy cause division from within or to have someone come in and cause division from without. Lord, so we ask in Jesus' name right now that you would help to bind us together because only you can do that, Lord. Only you can do that. We ask that you would. We ask that you would help us to work hard in serving you, Lord God, to do whatever it takes to please you, Lord, and to be a blessing to your heart. I thank you for this awesome, loving group, and I pray your love would flow into them, Lord, and through them. And as they grow, that they would be an incredible witness for you. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.